For Tuesday, February 15th, Smokey Robinson will be appearing at the none other than the Apollo Theater up in Harlem in Manhattan at 8 p.m. For Wednesday, February 16th, there will be an open mic at 9 p.m. at the Brick House Brewery in Patchogue. Thank you so much for listening to WUSB Stony Brook and to the Concert Billboard.
Hello. Oh, there we are. Okay. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, where the microphone has just been repaired. It's time for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Saint here with you over here, and Kyle with you over there.
Good evening.
You sound very regal tonight.
I feel regal.
Well, good, good.
I also feel welcome. How are you?
I'm good. I feel fine. All kinds of things are happening. Spring is sort of in the air, but not really.
It's warmed up significantly, though. There's still blasts of cold air, but it's nice and warm. Things are melting.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of snow on the ground. And
there's a ton of snow.
It's going to be a while. It's still going to be a while. I still say best winter ever, and, you know, I'm hoping for a couple more big storms. I am. But that's just because I'm a masochist at certain times. Here we are again on a Tuesday night. We're going to try to take some phone calls tonight because I think that that'll be fun. We have some topics to discuss. But I have something. I have some rather disquieting news, I guess. Do I want to give any kind of guess as to what my disquieting news might be?
Was this about a piece of mail?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Good guess.
I just don't know if I should reveal.
Well,
I didn't know you knew.
Okay, I didn't know you were.
I had a feeling.
All right. Well, yes, I've been summoned. I've been summoned to jury duty before. This is different. This is very, very different. This is grand jury. Grand jury summons. And the reason why this is different is because you don't get to call in for the grand jury. You have to show up. And here's how they describe it. They say grand jury service is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday for 4 weeks or longer. I mean, what the hell? I'm just supposed to drop everything and head out to Riverhead, which is, you know, a good drive away, and serve on a grand jury 9 to 5. Apparently, grand juries don't deal with trials. They deal with indictments. They deal with deciding who's going to get to go on trial. And
Isn't a one-time deal.
No, you have to keep coming back.
You're basically be like handling intake and it's deciding like the preliminary stuff that when it does go to trial, the other juries deal with.
Exactly. Yes, I'm the one or one of a few that will be deciding who exactly is a criminal or a potential criminal, who is not. And I gotta say, I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe I'll just let everybody go for that period of time. Maybe I will. I mean, am I supposed to say that I won't? What can I not do? They don't say, don't talk about this on the radio. They don't tell me that I can't go in there with an attitude. They don't say, they just assume that I'm going to be right for the job. And I get paid $40 a day. $40 a day, that's $200 a week. I basically just got myself a full-time job at slave wages. I'm supposed to put my whole life on hold and deal with this for a month or more. Or more. It could be the rest of my life. Who knows? I don't know anybody who's done this, especially not in Suffolk County. So anybody who has information on all of this, please let me know. It doesn't look like I'm not one of these people that wants to get excluded from juries, but I tend to be. I tend to be because, well, I've been involved in so many lawsuits and I've been arrested so many times. I've never been convicted, but I've been arrested a whole bunch of times.
Right.
I give a course on how to do that, but we won't get into that right now. When you bring those things up, when they're picking juries for court cases, they tend not to want people of that ilk. In this case, I don't see anything saying that you may be disqualified. It seems proper dress attire required.
Please
dress in a manner respectful to the court.
Oh, no.
Well, court should dress itself in a manner respectful to me. Maybe I won't like the somber tones that you guys have over there. All right? You know, it takes two to play this game.
That's right. It's a two-way street. And what if you just go there and act crazy?
You mean not the way I usually act?
You're so formal and so composed normally.
I am. I really am. Maybe I could...
If you just acted a little crazy or had a tick of some kind, maybe they would say, you know, sir, we appreciate your enthusiasm. We're glad that you some extra research.
I can have all sorts of ticks. The thing is, I'm just going to be in a room with... I don't know how grand juries work. I think you're just in like an office environment.
Yes, and I'm sure there's styrofoam cups full of coffee involved.
Oh, God.
And fluorescent light.
This is going to be living hell. And the thing is, this starts at the end of this month. it ends, if it's 9 to 5, Riverhead, I'm not going to make it here in time.
Yeah, that's going
to
be...
So we'll have to do the repeat shows. Yep. Not the repeat shows, the pre-recorded shows, the travel shows, which are fine, that's great.
Yeah, it's a good thing you got to jump on getting some of those ready for, you know, incidents like this, but this is going to tear right through some of the programs you plan.
Not to mention the rest of my life that I'm planning, all kinds of other things. Can't just put it on hold.
Right.
But it says right here, willful disobedience of this summons is a criminal contempt of court that is punishable by a fine of $1,000 or imprisonment up to 30 days or both. But I figure, you know, if I'm going in there as a grand juror and I find my case coming up in a future date, I could just dismiss it on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. You could determine some of the evidence they're bringing against you for your case is inadmissible.
Mm-hmm.
Insubmissible. But yeah, is that the kind of thing you mentioned that you thought maybe you'd be in charge of deciding what kind of evidence is presented before people? And
see, they don't give very much in the way of detail. They do say you can't bring any weapons or any item with a sharp point, such as a pocket knife or a knitting needle. You can't bring a knitting needle. No outside food or beverage unless necessary for medical reasons. Well, you know what it is, because there's nothing but garbage out there.
What about
they take you? They tell you where the fast food places are, you know, and that's what you're supposed to go to. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm worried for your health and well-being.
Yeah,
getting into some sort of jury routine is not optimal. I don't think not for a healthful lifestyle.
Well, here's the one bit of good news. Each central jury room is Wi-Fi capable and have internet stations available for use.
Yeah, this is what I was wondering about. Is everyone going to have smartphones and tablets and notepads and notebooks? And
well, I assume I can bring my computer.
Yeah.
I can't bring, but did you hear the sentence I just read? Each central jury room is Wi-Fi capable and have internet stations available for use. Am I correct?
Each room have...
It's singular, not plural. Is this the kind of thing I'm going to have to deal with?
This is just the beginning.
They all have internet. That's, if you want to say, all central jury rooms are Wi-Fi capable and have internet stations available for you. You can't have it both ways. It's either singular or plural. You know?
Wow.
Oh, this is not going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is not going to be fun at all. If you cannot serve, even if granted a postponement, you may ask to be excused from service. You must provide documentary proof of the reason why you need to be excused. But I don't know if that works for grand jurists. I don't think it's different. It's very different.
You know, I've heard a lot about courts and stuff. I've, you know, helped out and done process serving and stuff like this, but I haven't ever really given some consideration as to the distinction between a regular juror and a grand jury summons. I personally have never been summoned in any way, but I find this is going to be interesting and educational.
For all of us, yes. Because I intend to talk about everything unless I'm told not to.
Absolutely.
No one's told me not to, so I'm reading the entire form that I've gotten, and I'll describe in detail. Maybe I'll record the ride out there and talk about that, and maybe I'll narrate as I'm being instructed on what to do.
But maybe
until told to shut the thing off.
Absolutely. I encourage this, and I think everybody wants to hear how this goes. And if anybody has any insight about grand jury summons, maybe we'll take some calls later and speak to somebody about that.
9 to 5 for 4 weeks or more. I mean, that's just so obnoxious. What if I had travel plans? What if I had all kinds of other things I was doing? I can't just put everything on hold. It's kind of presumptuous. Anyway, we'll be taking phone calls. Anyone out there, especially Suffolk County people, if you know anything about this sort of thing, grand jury, please let me know so I can let more people know and everybody gets to know what's going on. Okay, so Egypt, oh boy, Egypt has had a nice little revolution in the last week. You know, How about that? We were watching this, and it was pretty weird seeing Mubarak refusing to step down. Basically, you have millions of people on the street.
He's indignant.
Yeah, calling for his resignation, and he goes on TV and gives a speech saying, well, I'm not going to resign because you need me. And it just seemed like that's not the best of moves to make. And so what happened the next day, everybody comes out into the street, and he basically fires up the demonstrations even more than before.
Right.
Which is, it's obvious that's going to happen. All these dictators that claim that cling to power longer than they should, they don't seem to get that very elementary fact.
Yeah, he remarked it very quickly, and it was very late at night. Yeah. And that was not the expected result. So everybody was just, enlivened, I don't know.
Right. Well, the crowd didn't expect that kind of result.
Yeah. Not at all.
They thought he was going to say something and actually step down, but he did the exact opposite. Who is advising this guy that that he would say something like that and then be surprised at the reaction? Obviously, the tide of public opinion had turned against him for whatever reason.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting to see how quickly U.S. media referred to him as a dictator when for the last 30 years or so, they never referred to him that way. Same thing with U.S. government, how he was best friends until the people rose up. Then all of a sudden, well, you got to go. It just goes to show how fickle people are, how they basically wait for somebody else to say something first before they make any kind of claim whatsoever, any kind of opinion, any kind
take
of determination.
Stance.
Nobody,
yeah.
Nobody does that. Nobody takes the stance, and that's part of the problem.
And it's like politics, global politics.
Mm-hmm.
It reeks, you know.
Right, right. What I found to be interesting though was you had all these millions of people. Basically hanging on every word of the vice president because the president was no longer speaking. Mubarak was no longer saying anything. And so it was as soon as the vice president said the next day, okay, he's resigning, that everybody started to celebrate. And doesn't that sort of give a lot of power to that vice president that it's basically he says the words that make everybody happy, jump up and down, and stop the demonstrations. Simply because he says, it's not even Mubarak saying that, it's him saying he's going to step down.
And he was only recently appointed to that position by Mubarak.
He was appointed by him. So it just seems, in some kind of weird way, they're legitimizing that power by putting all this weight on these words that are being said. I mean, it seems to me that from the beginning, they didn't have any power, that the people were standing up, they were the ones in control. But now you got the military in control. Basically, what happened was, finally, the military did something. They've just been standing around watching all of this for the last week or two. But now they are in control, and listen to what they've done so far. They've rejected the demands of the pro-democracy protesters for a swift transfer of power to a civilian administration. They say they're going to rule by martial law until elections are held, probably about 6 months or so. They're going to rule by decree. They suspended the Constitution and basically told everybody to get out of the square and stop the demonstrations. Yeah, victory, guys. this is it. Wow, this is what we've been fighting for. Military in control. Of course, the thing is, you can't have a revolution without the military supporting you one way or another. It might take a while for them to come to your side. But it's very hard to run a country if the military is against you. So everybody is kind of walking around on eggshells, hoping they don't piss off the military too much, and hoping that the military will eventually relinquish power and things will go to a civilian government. But it's kind of, you know, it makes me a little uneasy seeing it go this way, you know, seeing how they just kind of took a firm stance against the people that were demonstrating that made it possible in the first place. And we'll have to see in 6 months if people even remember.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to have to remain vigilant and watch now the military, who is in control, and they're going to take steps towards dismantling the square and all of that. People, their encampments and stuff, you started to see that being cleared up on BBC and different news sources.
Yes.
So obviously they're taking steps to change that, but is it really, is it something to believe? Is it honest? Is it what the people really wanted, or are they being led to believe that? We'll only see, as you said, through time.
And the other thing is that when it finally gets around to the stage of appointing a civilian government, are the civilians going to agree? Or are these just people that wanted Mubarak out for one reason or another and are going to clash amongst themselves now? Maybe,
yes.
Maybe you have those people that want an Islamist state. Maybe you want people that want something a bit more leftist.
Democracy can be slow and messy.
Yes, very. And I don't know if postponing it 6 months is the right way to go.
Right, right.
Well, we also have all kinds of unrest going on in other countries. Algeria, yesterday authorities there said they'd lift a 20-year state of emergency in the coming days, but it had not been canceled as of today. They acted after anti-government protesters chanting "Change the Power" clashed with security forces in the capital over the weekend. The state of emergency was imposed in 1992 to quell a civil war that led to the deaths of what U.S. officials estimate to be more than 150,000 people. About 100 protesters were arrested during the protests in Algiers on Saturday. Then we have Bahrain. The king of the small Gulf nation addressed his country today, promising changes in the law after two people were killed in as many days. King Hamad Ibn Azza. Oh, how many names do you have here? My God. Okay, we'll get...
Keep going, keep going.
He's a king. Okay, so he gets that name. But King Hamad... I don't know how to pronounce I-B-N. How do you pronounce Ibn? All right, I'll try that.
I
don't mean any disrespect here. It's just alien to me, and it's hard to grasp, but I'm trying. King Hamad Ibn Isa al-Khalifa. Let me try it all at once. King Hamad Ibn Isa al-Khalifa. If you merge it all into one, then it's all right. But
nice.
It's just so many different... Okay. Anyway, he said he would ask the legislative authority to suggest the necessary legislation which will solve this in a way that will benefit the homeland and its citizens. Protesters initially demanded reform and the introduction of a constitutional monarchy. Some are now calling for the removal of the royal family after the deaths that occurred over the last couple of days. Of course, we have Egypt, Iran. Yeah, Iranian lawmakers called today for the execution of key opposition leaders. You see, this is amazing. There's video of this in Parliament where people are chanting. It's lawmakers chanting for the death of other lawmakers.
It's a little crazy.
It's very crazy. I mean, it's sort of like the House of Representatives, but a little bit more hardcore than that.
You see this in Asia a little bit, too.
Sometimes. You see the fistfights in the Korean Parliament.
Is it South Korea? It's South Korean
It's
Parliament.
Not North Korea.
Yeah,
like
we don't
that.
See much of North Korean Parliament.
You definitely don't see that.
But yeah, they get in the fisticuffs and stuff.
Yeah. Well, the Iranian lawmakers today call for the execution of those key opposition leaders. That's a day after tens of thousands of demonstrators marched along Revolution Avenue in downtown Tehran. You know, you're going to name it Revolution Avenue. What do you expect? That's where the revolution is going to start.
Really asking.
They issued fiery chants against former presidential candidates Mehdi Karoubi and Mir Hossein Mousavi. Monday's wave of people protesting the government of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad remained largely silent as they walked toward the capital city's Azadi Square. Though some clashes between security forces and demonstrators broke out in several parts of Tehran. Security forces fired tear gas in some places, detained demonstrators in other areas of the city. The Iranian government rounded up activists last week after Karoubi and Mousavi called for supporters to gather at the square, which was the site of mass protests by Iran's opposition movement after the disputed 2009 presidential elections. So it's interesting because what's going on in Iran, we're only finding out about through people's camera phones and some tweets, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit here and there is getting out.
They've clamped down quite a bit. Iraq, yes, Iraq. Thousands of people have rallied this month in cities across the country, protesting rampant poverty, a 45% national unemployment rate, and shortages of food, electricity, and water. Hundreds took to the streets Tuesday in at least two areas, the predominantly Sunni town of Fallujah, about 35 miles west of Baghdad, and the Shiite district of Sadr City in eastern Baghdad. Police also reported smaller protests elsewhere in Baghdad and in several provinces. Prime Minister Nuri al-Maliki announced earlier that announced earlier this month that he would cut his salary in half amid the growing unrest over poor public services and water shortages. That ought to save them.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that
money can really go to some use. State television also reported this month that al-Maliki would not run for a third term when his current one expires in 2014. That's the first page. We got more. Jordan. Yeah, it just keeps going. Jordan, U.S. Admiral Mike Mullen, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, traveled over the weekend to Jordan, where King Abdullah II swore in a new government last week following anti-government protests in his country.
Wow.
The new government has a mandate for political reform. It's headed by a former general with several opposition and media figures among its ranks. The appointment of Maruf al-Bakit as the new prime minister was seen as an attempt to shore up support among Jordan's Bedouin tribes, the bedrock of the monarchy. Jordan's economy has been hard hit by the global economic downturn and rising commodity prices, and youth unemployment is high as in Egypt. So basically, they say that Abdullah is trying to turn a regional upheaval into an opportunity for reform. Hmm. Over to Libya, calls were made through Facebook for a day of peaceful demonstrations in Libya yesterday. That call came in the shadow of leader Muammar Gaddafi, who has ruled the country for almost 40 years. And people just can't let go of power over there, can they? Had expressed support for former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak during the crisis there. It was not immediately clear Monday where their protest had taken place. The Palestinian territories, Prime Minister Salam Fayyad's cabinet submitted its resignations to Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas on Monday, days after the announcement that legislative and parliamentary elections will be held before September. The Palestinian territories have not seen the kind of demonstrations in as in many Arab countries, but the government has been under criticism since Al Jazeera published secret papers claiming to reveal some of the wide-ranging concessions Palestinian officials were prepared to make in negotiations with Israel. Negotiations have since collapsed. Al Jazeera did leak that information. That was very controversial, and we've been watching Al Jazeera. It's been fascinating to see, and still not really available in this country. You can get it on some free-to-air satellite systems. You can get it on Link TV, various other places, but you really have to search for it. It's not as readily available as the others.
But there's a lot more discussion about it. And
yeah, at least people are finally realizing, hey, you know, this is a real news network. It's something that people should see.
Yeah, and you can make a request to your provider, and, you know, sometimes they'll honor that. And
sometimes.
You know, you don't know unless you try.
Have you called Cablevision today? Have you called Time Warner, DirecTV, Dish Network? Have you called
Comcast,
whoever your provider is, and say, hey, have you guys got Al Jazeera English? I'd like to see them. And you're paying the bill. You should be able to see what you want. Okay, let's go on to our next destination, Syria. As protests heated up around the region, the Syrian government pulled back from a plan to withdraw some subsidies that keep the cost of living down in the country. President Bashar al-Assad also gave a rare interview to Western media, telling the Wall Street Journal that he planned reforms that would allow for local elections and included a new media law and more power for private organizations. A planned day of rage that was being organized on Facebook for February 5th failed to materialize. So, yeah, it looks like they got an iron grip over there. Sudan. Demonstrators have clashed with authorities on several recent occasions in Sudan. Human Rights Watch has said that authorities used excessive force during largely peaceful protests on January 30th and 31st in Khartoum and other northern cities to call for an end to the National Congress Party rule and government-imposed price increases. Witnesses said that security forces used pipes, sticks, and tear gas to disperse protesters and that several people were arrested, including 20 who remain missing. The Sudanese embassy said that people in Sudan have the right to demonstrate as they wish, but that some opportunists capitalize on incidents to inspire chaos or smear Sudan's image. And, of course, also related to that, people in southern Sudan have voted to become independent, and that will be a new country in July. I think the name they chose is Southern Sudan. You know, naming a new country, it's no small matter. You can name something a lot more imaginative than Southern Sudan. If you want to break away from a country, don't name yourself after that country.
It's an identity, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you could be anything you want. You could call yourself Jupiter. I mean, if that wasn't taken. But I don't know. I have the same problem with people who name streets. You know, Maple Avenue. How many Maple Avenues are there? You can name something whatever you want.
Right.
You know, Patch Bay Way. I'm looking at Patch Bay in the radio station now. Why not? Why can't you call it that? You know?
Or Turntable Roundabout.
Yeah. I mean, when you call the cops to come there, they'll know how to get there because that's the only one there is. Who gets to do this? Maybe grand juries get to do this.
There you go.
If I'm on a grand jury that names streets, you're going to see a shakeup in Suffolk County. You're going to see a shakeup no matter what. I guarantee you. I'm going to cause a ruckus.
So, E, are you seeing a pattern here?
A pattern in me causing a ruckus or in the countries?
Yeah, in all these countries. I love hearing, you know, this 20-year regime or this, you know, 30 years this dictator's been in power. I keep hearing it, and it's a way they structure the stories, but as you go from country to country, it's just amazing to hear, gosh, you know, I never really thought about that country having someone in power, and now they want to do something else, and they're using the internet and other ways of communicating and technology itself to organize and get some spine. You mentioned Syria, and it got squashed, and you said, you know, a tight grip there, but I wonder, you know, that's how a lot of these other things started, and what will happen is that these things will cascade, and other countries, that's how we saw the Algerian Yemen and Algeria? Was it?
Oh, you gave one away. I haven't gotten to Yemen yet, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had two left. Only two.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
I thought
okay.
You were, there were so many. I thought you'd gotten to them all. But Iran had seen, you know, the people were emboldened by the stuff going on in Iran.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So maybe Syria didn't get their stuff together. But you know what? Maybe it was that they have to use Twitter next time or something. But
Syria does have a bit of an iron grip on its people. There's no question about
true.
That.
True, true. I'm joking about technology. That's irrelevant. I think it's really just the fact that it starts up and maybe it has a false start, but these things linger. I mean, if there was any sentiment there, it will continue. So it's.
I just wish it would spread to other places, like the United States. It would be nice, wouldn't it? There's been the same people in power now for a couple of hundred years. Basically the same two-party system, which is really a one-party system. How about some definite changes in just the way things are done?
Yeah, I completely agree. There's some complacency here in the U.S.
Yeah.
and people need to sort of start thinking about the things they want from their government.
I mean, at least when you know that you're living in bad conditions and that things aren't moving forward in an acceptable way. At least, you know, you know that in certain regimes, so that when the day does come to stand up and say enough,
right.
It's not a surprise. In our case, we've been just lulled into complacency, and we think everything is fine, and yeah, you know, we have the basic comforts, we have all that basic thing taken care of. To a degree, there are so many things that are not taken care of, so many things we should not have to deal with. We have lousy health care, we
Do you know they have
high poverty, and it's we need more. We need more choices. We need to see more changes. But I'll get off my soapbox for the moment.
Well, I was sort of speaking to that in relation to the speech and leaking and all the things we've been talking about in other realms. And so yeah, I mean, freedom and information mm-hmm. being disseminated properly, I think, is a theme that needs to continue, and people need to look at that as an example of you know, the many other realms in American life that the government might say one thing publicly and in the world, but then and act in a different way or use other tactics here in our country to keep people from thinking about organizing and changing things.
Right, right. Same words applied to one country will never apply to your own country. You can
Absolutely.
Say that you stand up for freedom of speech and journalist and quote-unquote subversives or whatever, but when it happens on your own land, the government never says, yeah, that's acceptable there. It's just painted in a completely different color.
Yeah.
And we're too thick a lot of times to see that, see through the propaganda. To even believe that we have propaganda on a day-to-day basis fed at us. I used to do this for fun, take a copy of any newspaper and just look at a news story and point out how it's propaganda, how certain things are said in a way to make you believe a certain thing when it's not necessarily true,
mm-hmm.
that Americans are always right, that we've got the highest quality of life, that this is a valid perspective, that this is an invalid perspective. There are so many little tiny things that get ingrained into your psyche that don't go away. And that
right.
you basically reinforce to other people. Very subtle, but it's very effective. Anyway, let's finish with these countries. Tunisia. Yes, Tunisia. The European Union's top foreign policy official, Catherine Ashton, met yesterday with government and civil society leaders in Tunisia, the North African country, where protests in December sparked unrest that have spread. They did it again. Unrest has spread. Yes, that is singular. Sparked unrest that has spread across North Africa and the Middle East. After weeks of demonstrations that started in December, longtime President Zine El Abidine Ben, President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali fled the country.
Whew. Nice.
Took all his names with him. Since then, Italy has complained about a wave of migrants from Tunisia coming into its territory.
Yes.
Well. And finally, Yemen. Clashes broke out between pro- and anti-government protesters in Yemen's capital on Tuesday, at least the fourth day in a row of protests. A group of anti-government protesters marched toward the center of Sana'a Tuesday afternoon, were attacked by pro-government supporters with sticks and rocks. Human rights group Amnesty International condemned the use of force in a statement issued Monday. Yemen's embassy in Washington said the opposition coalition had announced its intention to hold a dialogue with the administration. Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh has been in power for 32 years and has pledged not to run for re-election when his current term ends in 2013. So yeah, it's all basically chaos and very interesting things.
I think it speaks to something that you've talked about a lot, which is questioning things.
Mm-hmm.
And you were speaking to that a little bit just now about your own government and looking for propaganda, or at least even trying on the possibility that there is propaganda at all ever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got to question things, and I think that's exactly what's going on with these people. They've started to organize and talk and share it through social networking and other means, and it's just incredible to see. And it's all about questioning and making a request of your fellow countrymen and you know, hey, do you guys want to rule ourselves, or do we want to continue to put up with whatever regime's been in here for decades and decades? So it's very, very interesting to see. It's a new thing. It seems to be quite popular in all sorts of countries.
Absolutely. And there's a related story too. This just came out a day or so ago. Apparently, the U.S. State Department has launched a new Farsi language Twitter feed. They did this actually on Sunday, in a bid to connect with internet users in Iran, which seems like a fairly good idea, I suppose. A good way to spread information around. Of course, the Twitter feed is in Farsi. We can't really understand what's being said, but they claim the first tweet. Translated, we're told, says, U.S. State Department recognizes historic role of social media among Iranians. We want to join in your conversations. Now, this is interesting. The name of the Twitter user that the USA is now using is USA Dar Farsi. That's spelled USA Dar Farsi.
I think Dar means like in Farsi.
Yeah, it's a good assumption.
USA in Farsi.
So if you go over there, and I'll wait for everybody to click and go over to that particular Twitter page, USA Dar Farsi. Okay, and you see right there are all kinds of things with little hashtags for Iran, 25 January, 25 bombing, Egypt, Net Freedom, Secretary Clinton, Egypt, Iran, Obama. All kinds of things like that, tags. They have 3,427 followers. It's gone up quite a bit in the last couple of days. But take a look at how many people they're following. They're following 24. Let's look at the very first follower. The very first person they're following is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran. So I'm clicking on his face right now on the under the following area. And look what happens. I go to his page. And I see Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I can get short, timely messages from him. Here's the first one. This is from yesterday. And it says, Great Satans, in Iran, February 14th has always been get out in the street and get some fresh air day. Stop reporting this as protests. Yeah. The next entry after that, protesters, clear the streets at once or we will be forced to blast Fran Drescher's cackle over the Ayatollah's massive sound system. Here's another one. Don't fall for the lies of the Western media. We are dispensing a new potpourri pizzazz fragrance in the streets, not the tear gas. Iranians, if you must protest, please show a minimum of decorum by not commenting on my height, clothing, or hatred of democracy. Merci. And let's see, what else? Youth of Iran, just a gentle reminder that throwing me out is pointless. A bunch of bearded geezers run this place. I'm just a handsome face.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Wouldn't he be speaking in Farsi?
Well, I guess. He's speaking to the world. Now, he has 23,032 followers, including the United States State Department. He's one of 24. You think maybe they didn't check this out very carefully and follow the right Mahmoud Ahmadinejad on Twitter, or maybe they're just doing this to mock him. But it seems kind of childish for the United States government to put a fake Mahmoud Ahmadinejad up there for their own people to see.
Is that really our style?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So all kinds of mystery and intrigue from the Twitter world. I don't know what's up with that. When I first saw that, I thought, okay, you know, either the U.S. State Department has been fooled, or there is no Farsi feed at the U.S. State Department, and CNN has been fooled. But it's still there. It's still up there. There are other news agencies reporting on it, and they still follow this person. Who else do they follow? They follow, let's see, who's this? Azadi Moveni. I'm not familiar with that. This is also another kind of interesting one. A comic relief much needed for Iran. Check out Borowitz's report on Ahmadinejad. This is kind of weird.
Well, I'm sure people can go and cruise around there.
I mean, this is in English. It's serious, but they're actually talking about the real issues. Kim Gattas, I don't know who this is. Another link. BBC State Department correspondent. Okay. Various reporters and things like that. I guess it is intentional, but it just seems a little bit childish.
Well, and it's and emblematic of confusion that can happen with some of these sites is that, you know, how do you verify that the person you're following or the person that's tweeting is really them?
Well,
celebrities and states getting Twitter accounts and stuff, how do you know that that's actually what they're thinking?
Mm-hmm.
It could just be a macro or like a robot or something.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I think it's...
But, you know, Ahmadinejad, he could sue. He really could, because they're using his name, his likeness.
He'd get his name from Twitter.
The other possibility is that he has a crazy sense of humor, and he's doing this himself.
Yeah, that too. All right, what else do we got?
We have some talk on high-speed rail, but, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, and I do want to take some phone calls. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into delay. We'll give out the phone. It's already ringing. I haven't given out the phone number, and it's already ringing.
Do you know that they have subways and trains in Iran?
They do. Yeah, they got all that.
They
got electricity
idea.
And they got, everything.
I saw a video the other day of a subway in Iran. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's incredible. I don't know if they have high-speed rail, but they probably have a better network than we do in this country, which seems incredible. But let's go into delay.
We'll
take some phone calls, and hopefully delay will work smoothly as it has been doing in recent weeks.
Hi, this is Yakov Smirnov, a Russian comedian, and I'm glad to be listening to WUSB instead of the KGB.
Here we are in delay, and as you can see, it worked just perfectly. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Just very quickly, the high-speed rail initiative has been announced by Obama.
I think it's $56 billion.
How much is he going to spend? $50-something billion to develop high-speed rail in the next...
$56 billion.
Yeah.
$56
Actually,
billion.
You know, I'm sorry. Oh, this is going to be confusing. You came out before I did. You weren't in delay, but I was. So you actually answered me before I asked the question. So now, Kyle, answer me after I ask the question, and we won't confuse so many people. I'm sorry.
As I was saying... Yeah. $56 billion, I think, is what Obama was requesting or committing to with this new transportation plan that we read about and are thrilled to hear about and would like to see more and more of this reporting go on and discussion.
Well, we're thrilled, but a lot of Americans aren't thrilled. Only 41% are in favor of it, 46% oppose it. Now,
why? We need the jobs. We need the ability to move around, old and young, poor and rich.
Mm-hmm.
Who is against transportation?
Well, opposition to the president's plan.
The economy could use it.
Yeah. There's House Republicans, of course. They want to slash all kinds of things that makes sense. They want to, in fact, cut Amtrak's budget back to 2008 levels. But there's a feeling amongst some people in the country, a lot of people actually, that it's a waste of money, that people won't give up their cars, that the highway system is where we should put all our money, and that the successes of other countries really don't apply to the United States. I'd like to get into this a lot more because there are all kinds of things to talk about, including what China is doing.
That attitude's insane, and I will go toe-to-toe with anybody that disagrees.
All right. I want to do this. I want to devote a whole show to this, actually. I want to get as much information on it as possible. But I do want to take some phone calls, 631-632-9872. If anybody wants to talk about what's going on in other parts of the world, feel free to call in, and we'll discuss that as well in the 10 or so minutes that we have left. I'm a big train fan, and I'd sort of like to see an actual connection to different cities. I think people would go places a lot more if it was easy to get to these places without going to airports and having to deal with all kinds of long lines and intrusive security measures. Plus, it's just so much more comfortable to be on a train, to be going from one place to another. It does work overseas. We've been there. We've seen how it works. Everybody uses these things, and they have planes, they have cars too. Maybe not quite as many.
Well,
now you can point to not making a lot of money. The trains might not be as profitable as you think they should be. They're not profitable in other countries at the same time because they're a public service. They're something that is important for people to have. Plus, airlines are not profitable either. If you're constantly bailing out airlines, so how come that's okay? But trains that don't make a huge amount of money, that's something that we just can't allow.
And I'm not convinced that's entirely true everywhere.
All right. Let's take a phone call. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind? Where are you calling from?
In Carl in West Hampton.
You're calling in West Hampton? In Suffolk County. That's great.
All right, so here's the thoughts. Okay, so what credence, weight can you carry with this thought? You've got all this unrest in the Middle East and the rising tide of all these people, and so you go to the Nostradamus prediction of the last great war in the Middle East. And the second question I have, and I'll hang up and listen to you guys, is, Emmanuel, how do you, this goes back to your grand jury thing, what are we pulling you away from? Do you have a job? How do you finance all your trips to Sweden and Germany and you and Kyle traveling all over? Is it just your website? I mean, talk to me. I love you guys. See you.
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't know. He said the second question. What was the first question? He said something about Nostradamus. And how that ties, you know, I don't know. I don't know how what ties into who.
Yeah, I think there's some prediction that we need to know more about with what happens in the Mideast before the end of the world.
Yeah, you know, no matter what happens, there's somebody somewhere that can point to it and say, aha, this proves that. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories and predictions and various things like that. For everything that does come true and for everything that does not come true, that's something to keep in mind.
I don't know much about it. I just, you know, there might be something to it, but who knows? I mean, it's just sort of what's happening in that part of the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with information and people wanting to evolve and do more things in their lives, you know, than just the same old thing with your, you know, country, and we are becoming smaller. I just think that people, you know, look for a better way of doing things. People are always improving things and, you know, fixing things that are broken, you know, so it just seems natural right now. But
now, as for how we secretly finance our trips around the world in various strange places, you're looking in the wrong place. You're assuming that in order to do this kind of thing, you have to spend a lot of money. It's not true. What you have to do is change your attitude and simply allow yourself the flexibility to be able to go places and to see other things. Actually, traveling, I'll tell you right now, round-trip plane tickets to fly into Norway and fly out of Paris, which is what we did over the winter, cost about $500 round-trip. That's not that much.
Yeah, if you plan really, really far in advance, you can get decently priced plane tickets. As far as being able to live or, you know, being pulled away from things, I mean, we're involved with multiple projects, and you know, you have a lot going on with publications and doing the radio. And I mean, you're not going to be able to make the radio show in the city at this rate.
If I'm on a grand jury, I won't be able to. Let's not even think about that. But the thing is, when we're away, when we're traveling, we're still working. We're just working in a different location. And we're having different kinds of food, which we're not having the kind that we have here. So, you know, what you're not spending here, you're spending over there as well. And if you can somehow manage to balance things out where somebody is maybe staying at your place and you rent your place out or something to somebody else while you travel in a different place and pay somebody else rent, you can make it work. I'm not saying there's no expense. There's going to be some expense.
Yeah.
But it's not as phenomenal as people seem to think it is. And it's also something that I think is very important for your mental health, to be able to get away, to be able to travel, interact with new people, see new sites, look at how people are doing things. This is how we come back with ideas on different ways of approaching problems. This is why we're such big fans of high-speed rail.
Yeah.
We've seen it work firsthand.
Yeah.
It's an important distinction from somebody who has never gone outside their hometown. They're not aware of a world out there, and I think it's to everybody's advantage to be aware like that.
I would also speak to, you know, working remotely and doing things. I was traveling around photographing. I'm really trying to do a lot more independent photography and get all kinds of secret or not so secret finance for that. But I spent a good deal of my savings last year traveling. I used to be a mechanic, so that's where my riches.
You still are a mechanic.
I'm a heck of a mechanic now. Yeah. But I was sponsoring all that by changing oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or other stuff.
The point is not to put yourself out of contention for doing this kind of thing. Our friend in West Hampton can travel just as easily as we can.
It's the mindset.
If you change your mindset and say, I understand people who have 9-to-5 jobs can't do this because they have that 9-to-5 job. So you have to ask yourself, do I really want to have this 9-to-5 job? Is this really who I want to be for the rest of my life, for the rest of this year? Whatever. That is a decision that only you can make and only you should make.
And people make it so subconsciously, so reflexively, because they just want to make it to the next meal or they just want to survive.
Right.
Life is not so much about surviving. It's about creating creating circumstances where you thrive. And that's not always easy. It's not a big party. It's a lot of work. But, you know, mentally and physically, just the logistics of it all, but mentally getting yourself in that space of doing what you want to do and moving and making plans in that direction.
John Lennon said, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Wasn't that sweet?
That was cool.
All right, let's see if we can take some more phone calls. 631-632-9872. I'm sorry that when we're talking, the phones are ringing, and then we pause, and maybe they've timed out, maybe the people have given up in frustration. We have about 3 minutes left, maybe about 2 minutes left, to take a couple more calls. 631-632-9872. There's no calls on the line right now, so all it takes is one more person. I would really like to hear from somebody who has served on a grand jury in Suffolk County. That would be useful for me to understand this kind of thing. If you're listening to this later, or if you're not able to get through to us and you're kicking yourself and you really want to get information to us, you can write to us, otw@2600.com. That's 2600.com, and give us the information there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Oh, okay, how about this one? Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, I'm driving right now on Sunrise, so I don't really want to talk for too long, but I want to know your guys' opinion on the recent Anon leaks on the companies that are trying to attack the WikiLeaks servers. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. It's on the Forbes blog.
Yes, no, we did hear about that. And go back, listen to your radio. Drive safely over there. Thanks for your call. Sorry.
Yeah, there was an article on Salon.com. It's this company, BH something. I don't know the initials, or BG something. Anyway, it's like this private security firm.
Basically, somebody hacked into something, got email that showed that that this guy was working to take down WikiLeaks and various people associated with it.
Right, through social media. He was doing all this social media research, and his big grand plan was to work with other private companies that actually were talking to the government, and so he was getting this coalition of private security companies together to start saying, hey, you know, we can find out through social media, connecting networks and social stuff, we can make sense of who Anonymous is, and, you know,
the Anonymous group that that was behind all this. But we don't have time to get into it, unfortunately, because we're out of time. But we do have time to talk about this tomorrow night on Off the Hook, which is at 7 o'clock. So we'll talk about it then. All right. For now, though, we have to get out of here. Kyle, I want to thank you for stopping in. Hopefully,
gosh, it was fun.
It was fun. Hopefully next week we'll talk about high-speed rail some more and take some more phone calls.
Yes.
All right. Until then, have yourselves a good night. Remember, write to us, otw@2600.com. Especially if you know anything about grand juries in Suffolk County, won't you help me out there and give me some information. Have a good night.
जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो शाम जवां यूं न चली जाए आज ये शाम जवां यूं न चली जाए फिर से न आएगी या किसी के बुलाए फिर से न आएगी या किसी के बुलाए फिर से न आएगी या किसी के बुलाए जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो बोलो तुम हो गए इशारे सीधी सीधी चोट हुई दिल पे हमारे सीधी सीधी चोट हुई दिल पे हमारे सीधी सीधी चोट हुई दिल पे हमारे जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो देखी नजर दीवानी जरा सी ये बात बन जाए ना कहानी जरा सी ये बात बन जाए ना कहानी जरा सी ये बात बन जाए ना कहानी जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो